A reading from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Is it okay if I preach from down here? Okay. Hopefully you can see all right. I always find this week to be a weird one, don't you? It's in between this limbo time, between Christmas and New Year's, those high points of this season. Christmas is the finale after weeks, or for some of you, months of preparation. And New Year's is the launch of a brand new start. But in between them are these quiet, rather unremarkable days. For many families, this week involves travel, coming home from a Christmas trip, seeing the other side of the family, or going to wherever one's going to spend the rest of the winter if you're so fortunate to get away. Even if this week has not literally held travel, it still feels like the hours on a trip between one's departure and one's arrival, when everything is in motion and nothing is quite settled yet. Part of what makes this so is the annual ritual we have of simultaneously looking back and looking forward, right? The news this week has been all about evaluating 2017. And making finger-in-the-wind predictions about 2018. Pundits seek to summarize the last 365 days into one or two overarching themes. This is what it was all about. As though we need to tie the year up with a bow in order to move along into the next one. Facebook tells us how many friends we've made in the last year and invites us to wonder what the year ahead will bring, what resolutions we might consider. We transition from what has been to what we hope will be, putting our best selves forward into 2018 with resolutions of whatever distinct or common type. What are you saying goodbye to this week in this year? What are you looking for in 2018? Are you on a quest for greater truth, like the wise travelers from Matthew's story? What winding paths will you follow on the journey in the year ahead? Many pursuing wisdom will seek leaders worthy of being followed in the new year. There's a great deal of froth and churn if you read the news about electoral and political dynamics among the chattering classes, and I include myself among those. Some in 2018 will feel tempted to hitch themselves to one candidate or party or celebrity. Whose star is rising now? Whose star is falling from the firmaments? Like ancient magi, we go searching the whole wide world to find a truth which will cause us to stop finally, at last, overwhelmed with joy, offering attention, allegiance, and other gifts. My searching for wisdom involves Minnesota Public Radio, columnists like David Brooks, and ironic cartoons in my new page-a-day calendar. But I haven't found what I'm searching for yet. Have you? Or perhaps you're among those searching for a more basic goal, one of safety, fighting for survival like the Holy Family is. Pastor Sandy Johnson, retired from First Congregational Church in Northfield, tells of a chilling benediction she once heard in seminary. Do not go in peace. Herod is still on the throne, and the children are not safe. Herod stalks the kids of Minnesota today through defunded health insurance programs, education unfit for a 21st century workforce, swollen prisons for nonviolent offenders, and an opioid addiction crisis that gets worse and worse. In our own congregation here, a dozen people gathered last Thursday night at an Isaiah house party to name what's keeping us up at night, what's weighing us down. For our neighbors, our loved ones, and ourselves, we mentioned health insurance expenses, prescription drug costs, immigration failures, student loan debt, changing needs in care for the elderly, and a general us-them divisiveness in our public discourse. Yet instead of broad community engagement to find fixes for these problems, 2018 threatens an election cycle that will slice and dice Minnesota, separating kin in the body of Christ from one another for the sake of short-term political gain. We can expect in 2018 to be intentionally divided from one another through fear. Whites from folks of color, poor from rich and middle class, native-born from immigrant, metro residents from those in greater Minnesota, Republican from Democrat, Where are the safe havens where we'll find shelter in these coming days? Where are the new sanctuaries, the Egypts, that will provide safe harbor? There's a third possibility as we look ahead to the coming year. If you feel neither like Mary and Joseph in crisis needing emergency shelter, nor like a foreign traveler on an open-ended quest for wisdom, perhaps you're equipped as a messenger instead. One of those who showed up in a dream, called by God to prepare and point the way for others. Several times in the scripture that Alan read, we heard heavenly messengers speak up as agents of safekeeping. An angel warns Joseph when it's time to flee Herod's wrath and guides him back to Galilee when the threat is gone. As we have throughout this Advent and Christmas time, we follow divine guidance through the guardian angels of Christmas time. On today, New Year's Eve, we hear the message of the angel once again to get up and go like Joseph, leaving those things that weigh us down and moving into the new year with new life. Think about all that swirls on the horizon personally and publicly in the coming year. What will it hold? I think especially about next year's public conversation about our core values and commitments, also known as an election cycle, right? How might we be faithful messengers, like one of the angels, entering into that public conversation prepared to offer more life? Here's a possibility. And I want you to consider it, that of being a faith delegate organized by a group called Isaiah Minnesota for the 2018 caucuses and conventions. Faith delegates are people who enter into the work of our democracy, the work of our public life, leading with our faith in Jesus Christ and calling for his kingdom, his ways, on earth as it is in heaven. This is not a partisan plea. It works equally well, whatever your political persuasion. Faith delegates are currently being organized and equipped all around Minnesota in over 600 house meetings with people of faith by this statewide multiracial and ecumenical coalition, Isaiah. The goal is to learn what's most urgently needed by people on the ground in our congregations now, what's needed across the state, and then to form that into a faith agenda that can be used to inform the political conversation throughout 2018. This hasn't yet been finalized, but it's going through draft form right now and will be unveiled in mid-January. Rather than being a party platform or Republicans or Democrats, I expect the faith agenda to call on elected leaders of every party to do what's needed to fulfill what Jesus called the greatest commandment. You know it. Love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Faith delegates then will participate in the caucus and convention processes of whatever chosen party, remaining publicly uncommitted to a candidate because we're lifting up instead the importance of faithful service to every neighbor across Minnesota as Jesus would call us. This is how we heal divided and bitter, broken communities as Jesus would, faithfully entering into the world's broken systems and bringing more life to them instead. As Christians, coming out publicly about our faith. So I and others from Edina Morningside have committed ourselves to this process, and there will be trainings at points all along the way, and I invite you to consider what it would mean for you to be a faith delegate. I wrote about it in my column for the Friday update, for the Messenger that went out on Friday, and I'm happy to share more if you're interested. I don't know how the Republican powers that be have responded to this idea, but I take a perverse little pleasure from knowing that the DFL leaders don't really like this. They don't like when people of faith rise up and co-opt the processes for the sake of something greater. And I'm kind of excited about that, I'll tell you. It's about time that we as people of faith scramble the comfort of those in power and the status quo, not for the sake of burning down the house, but for the sake of building up something new. The community that is centered on care for those Jesus calls the least of these. This might strike you this morning as just what's needed for 2018, or it might feel too hot to handle because it deals with politics. I confess it's a little frightening and daunting to me as well, even to stand here and share it with you. But I'm going to try to enter in, following what the angels say, right? Do not be afraid. Wherever you find yourself this morning, whether it's seeking sanctuary and shelter like the Holy Family, searching for truth far and wide like those wise travelers, or ready to guide others to safety like guardian angels, this is the hinge time of the year when we look back and prepare ourselves for what is to come. As you find your way in this limbo time, listen for where God calls you in the coming year. Consider the sentiments of Alfred Lord Tennyson, whose poem In Memoriam captures well the spirit of this hinge time and our times more broadly. He writes in part, "Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky. The flying cloud, the frosty light, the year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and light. Ring in the common love of good. Ring in the valiant one and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be. Amen."